got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black?
And when we go
welcome back.
And try on someone's shoes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, November 30th, 2023. How about some quick announcements? And then we'll get back on track. Schedule change is coming quickly, right around the corner, to be implemented effective this coming Monday, December 4. See the website for details, republicbroadcasting.org. We're in the midst of the second annual John Stadmiller book drive. Again, see the website for details, republicbroadcasting.org. But in simple terms, make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win the week's book. Entrants who do not win will be added to subsequent week's drawings. Thank you to those folks who have participated already. We took a break. Thanksgiving week was a hiatus week since we were off. You know, we weren't live for the majority of the week from Thursday to Sunday. And this is week three, and it's not just a book. It's the super package. And in that package, two copies of the Bill of Rights Handbook, three copies of the Citizens Rule Book, which gets back to the beginning of today's broadcast. We say we're Americans, but what does that mean? Or we say we're Christians. What does that mean? A copy of Edward Timberlake and William C. Triplett II's Year of the Rat, How Bill Clinton Compromised U.S. Security for Chinese Cash. Copy of the Ron Paul Uprising DVD. A copy of Ronald McDonald and Robert Rowan's They Own It All, Including You, by Means of Toxic Currency. I think that's an important read. And I think if you read They Own It All, Including You, by Means of Toxic Currency, and then you start to understand what's going on with the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency, I mean, I don't know. It should be obvious to see what's coming and how the digital currency is just a worse, more tyrannical, more invasive, more controlling, manipulative, at least for those who, you know, own the digits and regulate the digits, form of the same story. And then a copy of The New World Order Defeated by Grambo the Prophet. And bonus stuff includes an RBN t-shirt, bumper sticker, and coffee mug. So fantastic. Enter for your chance to win the fabulous super package. Please support the network. Those are the announcements. One other announcement, I think, is in order. I should announce that I will be joining Richard Carey later this morning. Actually, after this broadcast on Beyond the Official Narrative. And so that should be fun and interesting, a little cross-pollination. And we probably should do more of that on the network. So stay tuned for that. That should be interesting. I think that does it for the announcements. I should have been announcing that all week. But I have not. I would be remiss if I didn't mention it now, though. So I've mentioned it. There we go. And to... finish the thought on the Bertrand Russell shenanigans, the impact of science on society, and the scientific what a scientific dictatorship looks like. Continuing, what does a technocracy or scientific dictatorship look like? Well, continuing, Bertrand Russell wrote, children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers and reared by professional nurses. How many mothers do you hear these days? How many parents do you hear say, we just have to get little Johnny or little Sally into preschool or some form of preschool, you know, at by the age of, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, something like that. And they don't understand the implications. As a side note, you know, I've mentioned from Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society, how he said in chapter 2 that the subjects which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. And the subject will make great strides when it is taken up by scientists under a scientific dictatorship. Just think if any of this rings a bell at all. Anaxagoras maintained that snow is black, but no one believed him. The social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children. Wait, what? On whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. No wonder American young people are frustrated and upset. Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Is that a message that's been filtering and funneling out in America for generations now? Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. What are young people hearing these days? Do they, you know, it's interesting when people think back themselves over the last, you know, pretty much every generation alive, you know, since we've had the phonograph, etc. Everyone can remember the lyrics to music, but not everyone can remember things that they learned in school. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, if you don't understand the implications there, I've mentioned it, you know, countless times, but Jeffrey Steinberg's article over at the Lyndon LaRouche's Executive Intelligence Review from 2000, titled From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control. Everyone should read that and read how the cultural Marxists view this subject and what Theodore Adorno wrote in The Philosophy of Modern Music, that The purpose of modern music is literally to drive the listener insane. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Steinberg's word for it. Look it up. Find out for yourself. And so what are young people learning? And is it sticky? Does it stick for the rest of their lives? Most people would admit and agree that for the last few generations, we remember the lyrics to songs that we heard even from a very early age. Didn't have to hear it that many times either. So I guess Bertrand Russell was right. In a scientific dictatorship, when young people are indoctrinated, various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Mom and dad are square. They don't know what they're talking about. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. And fourth, the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. If you don't believe in parrot and support the lie, you must be crazy. We should probably have you locked up. This is the direction things are trending, and this is why I say the, you know, narcissistic personality disorder Wikipedia entry hints at this. And what we can expect under the section titled Signs and Symptoms, actually Diagnosis, DSM-5, subsection, this sentence says it all. The DSM-5 indicates that in order to qualify as symptomatic of, in this case, NPD, but really any personality disorder, the person's manifested personality traits must substantially differ from social norms. Well, the question is, who's in charge? Who decides what constitutes social norms? And in a society that is marked by mental illness, a healthy person does not comport to social norms. And it seems that if we take Bertrand Russell's writing and the impact of science on society at face value, and that in a scientific dictatorship, those who do not support the lie would be considered abnormal, then what could we expect in that kind of a society? I think it has very grave implications. So Bertrand Russell continued, but I anticipate it is for future scientists to make these maxims precise and discover exactly how much it costs per head to make children believe that snow is black and how much less it would cost to make them believe it is dark gray. You know, a shade of gray in the lie instead of the outright lie. Although this science would be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. And that's pretty close to where we are right now in America. What do you mean by the lies, though? Well, that's kind of where I started at the beginning of today's broadcast. As a basic starting point, we call ourselves Americans, but how many people could recite anything from our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights? How many people could just give you a general outline of the first 10 amendments? Let alone the rest, let alone the nuances. Has a transition occurred in time? What does the administrative fourth branch represent? Is there a difference there? Did something happen? How many people could articulate these things? And as far as being a Christian nation, how many people could articulate the Ten Commandments or what the gospel is, what the Christian gospel is? All of this really is to kind of get to the point that there's only one hope in this life. You know, to say that we're going to work to try to, I think the admonition and the exhortation from Jesus himself is that we should occupy as Christians until he comes, which just means basically to stand your ground in Ephesians 6 sort of fashion, not to go about crusading, but to stand your ground in the face of, I said earlier this week, maybe the answer is sometimes just no. Maybe the answer is no. Maybe we don't have to engage in dialectical consensus making and synthesis making, dialectical synthesizing of evil. Well, this evil is less evil than that evil, so let's meet in the middle somewhere. No, let's just say no to evil sometimes. Wrong is wrong, and let's leave it at that. Sometimes the answer is no. And this, by the way, is I've mentioned the movie list. I did a movie list last year. It's been controversial for the last couple of years. You know, the changes that have happened at Hallmark, for example. And you can't even just enjoy a movie without being heavily propagandized. It's always been the case, but it's not so subtle anymore. It's getting increasingly less subtle, I think. It's more agitprop, getting the natives stirred up and angry. And what do you do? And so people go away. There has been a soft effort. By the, the Bill Abbotts and the Candace Cameron Berets and those kinds of folks too, without creating too much of a stir or a buzz, not trying to incite a riot or anything like that or a lynch mob, just quietly go over here and make content that's more wholesome, shall we say. But in so doing, they haven't made a firm stand. To say faith-based content really is pretty meaningless and wishy-washy, in my opinion, because everything's faith-based. But what is the object of your faith? Or who, maybe is a better question, is the object of your faith? That's the operative question. Faith-based is a squishy avoidance term, in my opinion. Because Jesus Christ is the object of the Christian faith. He is the one who is our sanctification, our propitiation. He is the one who bridge the gap when there was no way. So, that's the difference, and that's what we're not supposed to talk about. So yesterday I was kind of hinting toward this, and, the only hope is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers, this is not the current state of Israel. This is the descendants of Jacob. Oh, we're in a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. To finish the thought, the hope, and I'll, you know, we'll go to the phones here in a second. Didn't hear the break. So backing up, Ephesians 2:11-12. You know, if you're gonna make movies and take a stand, then take a stand and say, this is what we stand for. To say faith-based is mealy-mouthed, in my opinion. It's too soft. It's too weak. It means you're retreating and surrendering to sophistry. You're playing by the same rules. You're playing by the devil's rules. And if you look at the Old Testament prophets, they did not do that. Anytime that there was an effort, intentional or otherwise, to bend something into something else, that was immediately corrected by folks like Daniel or Elijah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. They did not allow evil to take credit for God's work or vice versa. And they were very clear and very specific. Who's in charge? You know, for example, who can interpret dreams? We hear, Daniel, that you can interpret dreams. Nope. Daniel was, he did not mince words. Or, you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Same kind of thing. So if you're going to take a stand, take a stand. Ephesians 2, don't try to hide behind sophistry and use, you know, the devil's tactics. That cannot end well. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. This touches on the conversation Mike in Kentucky and I were having, and specifically the thief on the cross, subject of water baptism. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us wondering or guessing about some of those things. Jesus didn't leave us to wonder either. He says, this day you will be with me in paradise, which is a specific term. To say heaven could mean, you know, depending on which Greek term, it could mean, you know, you're up in the air, which they were, or you're in outer space. You'll be with me in outer space. Or basically, let's just say the throne of God. That was paradise. That was the point that he was making specifically. So, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Separate from Christ. What is the object of your faith? Better question, who is the object of your faith? Who's in charge? Who decides? Remember that at that time, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Again, Jacob's descendants, not the modern state of Israel, not the modern counterfeit. And strangers to the covenants of promise. To the covenants of promise. What's that all about? Read Romans 9. Having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where most of us are, and there's only one hope. We're not going to establish something here on earth. If you read the book, things are going to get worse. Jesus himself said it. You will be hearing of wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, etc., etc. Going to get worse before it gets better. It gets better in Revelation 19. But to finish this thought in verse 13, Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting combination of designations. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near. By what? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. There you go. He didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. So, there's peace. There's peace there, not crusades. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right, before we go to the phones, you know, the introduction of the broadcast is usually, you know, it is a wild and dystopic ride. Renee mentioned it yesterday. Did Chris Hedges really say what she mentioned? You know, we live now in a nation where doctors destroy health, et cetera, et cetera. Did he really say that? You know, this gets, we're coming full circle before we go to the phones. And this is how wild and dystopic. We call ourselves Americans. We don't even know what that means. We are completely detached from what that means fundamentally. We don't necessarily agree on terms even. We don't understand the implications. I would dare say that most people don't even know that the Constitution outlines a system of government, of separation of powers, checks and balances, three duly constituted branches. They don't even know that, let alone the fact that there has been an administrative branch that has been codified and has institutionalized the practice of consolidating powers and functions of the three duly constituted branches unto itself. And that historically is, according to Madison, for example, the very definition of tyranny. Lord Acton said the power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. We're not concerned, though. We're not concerned with these facts. The uncomfortable reality that, what does it mean to be an American? Let's talk about our founding documents. What does it mean to be a Christian? That's how wild and dystopic. And so we arrive at Chris Hedges' remark, and the real horror of how wild and dystopic is that his remark is true, and we are not concerned. If we were, we'd do something about it immediately. We'd start with ourselves. We start having conversations about things. We'd start trying to bridge the gap. As I said earlier, why did Dr. Afia Siddiqui say that in the Muslim communities they were hearing the United States military was converting Muslims to Christianity at gunpoint? Why were they hearing that? And why would people who listen to Fox News and CNN say that's crazy? Can't be true. Why is that happening? How is that happening? Why are we not bridging the gap? Why are organizations like CARE leading the sensitivity training discussion? Why are the Wahhabis leading the sensitivity training discussion? Why are the most psychologically warped and mentally ill leading the discussion? Something is desperately wrong. And if we're not concerned, we shouldn't be surprised that someone is all too willing to drive the bus over the cliff. So what did Chris Hedges say all those years ago, back in 2010? Here's what he said. Go ahead, please.
This is how all civilizations, including our own, ossify and die. The signs of imminent death. Maybe to those who can break free from our electronic hallucinations, undeniable. Common sense may cry out for a radical new response, but the race towards self-immolation only accelerates because of our intellectual and moral paralysis. As Sigmund Freud grasped and beyond the pleasure principle and civilization and its discontents, human societies are as intoxicated and blinded by their own headlong rush toward death and destruction as they are by the search for erotic fulfillment. We live now in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge. Government destroys freedom. The press destroys information. Religion destroys morals. And our banks destroy the economy.
There you go. So What is to be done, dear comrades? Well, the Marxists don't have the answer. The question is, the first question, the first order of business is, who's in charge, who decides? To the phones we go. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, you know, I was pretty happy dancing with my vacuum cleaner and in a good mood. You brought to the reality check. No, I'm not complaining, really. I'll just have to do it again after the show to kind of get myself out of this.
Mm-hmm. I apologize.
The thing is, the article you read was fabulous. You need to have them posted on RBN. It was incredible. But this is reality, okay? You know, I believe, like, that Mark Passio is right. I mean, these people employ dark psychologists to manipulate us, okay? There's not a doubt in my mind. In fact, this is a little tidbit the white men love. I actually believe whenever you go to government right now to deal with anything, it's always black females you have to deal with. And I think there is a reason for this, okay? See, they had two strikes, and they were at the bottom of the pecking order. Well, if you want somebody who finally gets a little seat at the table when they've been at the bottom,
or on the menu, as the expression goes.
Yeah, okay? They are going to do whatever it takes. They're going to follow master order to hold on to that seat, just like that song you play about Billy. Poor Billy, when he grew up, he probably got a uniform, became a cop, okay? He probably, you know, became a bully. You know, it's that cycle. So what are we going to do to break that cycle?
Right.
We have to break that cycle.
And like I read, Paulo Freire observed that the oppressor cannot liberate himself.
You know, I'll tell you, because I've been listening to these types of men for the last couple of years, because I've said this before, if you ain't got moral courage, in my mind, you ain't got nothing. And there are some men out there who are really exhibiting moral courage. And by their example of showing their vulnerability, and these are very manly men, okay? But showing their vulnerability by example, not just to like a priest or a pastor, for the public, for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people to see. Like, there is a great three-part series that the neuroscientist Andrew Huberman with the psychiatrist Dr. Paul Conte puts on. And then there's this other Dr. Peter Attia, who is friends with Dr. Paul Conte. And like I say, Andrew Huberman admits at first they made him, when he was in school, start seeing a therapist. And now he sees it like going to the gym and exercise. He's been in therapy for something like 28 years or something, okay? And they tell about their young life. And then also, like, Dr. Peter Attia, finally, he and Dr. Paul Conte met when they got to medical school and became fast friends. Finally, Dr. Paul Conte told him, he said, look, he said, you're showing signs of real trauma injury. And the host says, if it hadn't been coming from Paul Conte, would you have listened? He goes, Dr. Peter Attia goes, no. But he did. He went off to a center for treatment for trauma, and he admits he would never have probably listened. He would have been hard-headed if it hadn't been coming from his good friend psychiatrist, Dr. Paul Conte. These men, they kind of go on each other's podcast and stuff. And like I said, Huberman and Conte even did a great three-part series where they talk about mental health. And like I say, a lot of these people, these guys, these are manly men. Huberman's buff, Attia's buff. Now, Paul Conte's kind of a small little guy. But, I mean, these are people, you know, you can't call these guys wimps, okay? But they are honest about their own struggles with issues they've had, for the whole world to see. And by their example, how can I say this? I have so much admiration for them, because by their example, I think they will give other men to have the courage, oh, look, you know, it's okay. Look, men like this can do it, and maybe some of them can have the moral courage for the self-examination that they need to do, okay? Because if we don't stop this, let's face it, we're on a really destructive path. And like I say, I'll be the first to say a lot of this is kind of not our fault. You know, when I look at, because I've had to deal with some of these types in my own personal life, and I know the issues. I saw with my own two eyes some of the abuse they endured, okay? And so I know what caused them, when they gained power and money, to shift. But despite my efforts, let me tell you, once these guys develop these kinds of coping mechanisms, good luck. Okay, getting them out of it. And, you know, think of how Jesus said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. In many ways, they don't know what they're doing. And they turn into these phony, blustering men, which is, you know, they start thinking that's manhood. And that's why I agreed with that thing when you played about those girls complaining about the types of men they found versus what they wanted. They wanted protective, gentle men. The thing is, one of the things a woman is most looking for, if she has any sense, is safety. We're not stupid. We know we have less physical and financial strength in a patriarchal world. And the thing is, if you have any sense, you want someone who you can depend on, who's going to be truthful, and is going to make you feel safe. Now, I realize there are some idiot women that look for bad boys. You know, in my mind, it's like, what is wrong with you? Don't go looking for trouble. But the thing is, we have, you see, I admire these men because they're talking and being vulnerable in their own issues, and they've done a lot of introspection, and they're putting themselves out there publicly. Okay? That's moral courage. So they can help other people. They're doing it free. It's free. As long as you can get access to YouTube, you can see there's such great help out there for free that we didn't have when I was younger. Okay? It wasn't there. But these men, like I say, I have great admiration for what they're doing, because I think it can help other men find their moral courage, because we have to break this cycle. It's going to be the end of the human race if this doesn't stop. So I thought that article you read at the beginning was absolutely fabulous, although it did ruin my mood. Yeah. So, you know, because if we don't stop this somehow, it does not look good at all, you know, because it's that cycle, like that little song you play about Billy. Billy mm-hmm. probably will grow up if he gets half a chance to be a bully. Mm-hmm. The thing is, people swing one of two ways when they've endured a bunch of trauma when they're young. They swing the way where it's like, I know what it's like to suffer, and I don't want to see anybody suffer like that again. And that's kind of like the direction I went. And then they swing, oh, yeah, it's like, it's my turn now. Get them before they get me. I had one guy even tell me that. He's, you know, who I knew him when he was a gentle soul, and he appeared back in my life later in life. And there was such a shift after his huge success where at one point, and it's so weird, his voice even changes. It's like you're talking to a different person. It's kind of really weird. And he said, like, yeah, get them before they get me. Well, see, because he has enormous abandonment and attachment issues, because, like I say, I knew him young, and I knew his family, and I know what his big brother would do to him and stuff. Where it went, what happened when he hit success? He switched. It tears me up. I'm almost going to start crying over this. You know, another blatant example of just ridiculousness of this, Jeff Bezos. Remember how he was such a nerd? And now that he hit it big.
That's a whole different discussion. We actually have other calls we got to get to.
Oh, okay.
So I appreciate it, Renee, as always. We're going to grab other calls. I appreciate it. The article, for those who may not have heard, I mentioned a few things. So the article is Terrence Moore's Wimps and Barbarians, The Sons of Murphy Brown. And I would simply say this, you know, before we go back to the phones, we'll do that in 2 seconds. I don't think, you know, the Marxists don't have the answers. The Freudians, the Jungians don't have the answers. And those are all folks cut from the apostate cloth, by the way. I've talked about that before. That's part of the Western esoteric impulse. Different discussion. We're coming to the end of the broadcast. But what about 2 Corinthians 5? You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Period. And so, you know, I mean, I've had conversations, I've talked about some of those on the broadcast where people say, oh my goodness, you know, this, that, the other thing. And I say, well, have you tried just putting on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, and doing that day in and day out for a month and see what happens? And regarding the bifurcation, you know, of wimps and barbarians, and Renee's valid point about Billy becoming an oppressor himself, because that's the model of manhood. James 2:13 in the King James says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Or in the NASB, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's the point, you know, grace and mercy triumphed on the cross. Anyway, back to the phones. Casper in Seattle, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to make it really quick because I don't want to take any more time, too much time. And I decided I'm only going to call if I've got something to contribute. But I just discovered an artist from the turn of the last century. He lived, I think, till the 60s or 70s. And his name is Otto, O-T-T-O, and last name is Dix, D-I-X. I don't know if it's pronounced that way. But he was an expressionist and surrealist artist who actually was on the front lines, served in the as a soldier in the trenches. And he had a lot to say through his work about how brutal it was. And if you look up his portraiture, also I think Richard Carey would like this if he looks up the portraits of the elitists there in Germany. But his brutal depictions of war and his caring for his fellow soldiers that had, you know, got, you know, ended up being handicapped or dismembered, maimed in that after the war. His comments on that through his art is absolutely amazing. And since he actually served and he was such an incredible artist, look up his self-portrait of he and his son. I think you'll think that's pretty amazing. But I just wanted to share that. They always use this word share. So I'm just calling in and saying that. Also, I'm the hugest Mornings with Mitzi fan. I just want to say that, and I'm going to go.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Back to the phones. In the interest of time, Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, welcome. I'll just say that I'm weak in the faith. I don't walk on water unless I can throw a big rock on it and it doesn't fall through. So what you said, what you quoted the other day, I finally looked up some of those, and he who is weak eateth herbs or vegetables, depending on the translation.
Yeah.
I just grew up with that child's hymn all the time. We are weak and he is strong.
Amen.
So
yes, Jesus loves me. So Romans 14 concludes, basically, you know, it's not just food, obviously, it's all things, you know. Is the Sabbath day holy? Of course it is. But, you know, one person regards one day above another. Another person regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. And he answers the question in verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And he goes on about, you know, all things indeed are clean, but they're evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It's not good to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have is your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned, and whatever is not from faith is sin.
Kind of look through this top, though. Paul, it seems, initially was more in line with the 12, which, by the way, did he pick the slowest 12 people he could pick? I mean, how long
probably,
does it take to go?
Probably. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's the dream team.
How long does it take to go through the towns of Judea, though?
Well, I thought
they were told they would not finish before.
I thought you were talking like intellectually slow.
No.
For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Why? So that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord.
Well, wise according to the flesh back then. I mean, they had all these pagan temples with sexual rituals going on. I mean, from whatever, Lesbos, the Greeks and the Romans and all their crazy gods, you know, a lot of them were engaged in sexual immorality. And so you have to wonder if that's not part of the admonition not to eat food sacrificed to idols, because it was done in celebration of sexual immorality. And right there in the Revelation, they're paired twice with the Baal and Jezebel. So,
and do we gather for Easter dinner and things? And, you know, I don't know.
It is kind of disturbing, yes.
Are there overt and covert allusions to these things in contemporary society? I think so.
Well, Constantine moved things to Sunday, did he not? So we're now, what are we engaged in? Sun worship? I mean, no sign will be shown
again,
except the sign of Jonah.
Romans 14, one day, all days, each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. And for what? You know, who's in charge? Who decides?
Well, apparently Constantine had a political problem there with all those pagans, so he moved it to Sunday when Yeshua probably came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath on Saturday night. Because that would have been four nights. If he'd stayed in there another night, there'd been four nights, and the sign was the sign of Jonah. So shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth three nights and 3 days. I think they say that backwards, because Jewish moon calendar was kept by sunset, because that's when they looked for the crescent moon to start the year, when the wheat was whatever that is, Habib. So the church has got a lot of issues if you really dive into it. I mean,
and
you got to really.
People need to do that. We all need to do our own homework and be fully convinced in our own mind.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it, Mike. Much appreciated, as always. There we are. That'll do it. End of the broadcast. I'm joining Richard Carey next. Please pray for one another. Support the network. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.